and that we'd be transformed to be like you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right. When I was 12 years old, I was living in New Zealand, down by Australia, and many of you know my mom and dad were missionaries, and we were kind of the kids, so we were kind of missionary kids, and you know, we helped where we could, but for me, basketball cards were huge. When I was growing up, basketball cards, I loved basketball cards. And me and a lot of the little boys in the church, we would collect basketball cards. And, you know, this was, you know, back in the early 2000s. So the best cards were like Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, Vince Carter. And so Allen Iverson was my favorite player. I used to collect Allen Iverson cards and Vince Carter cards. Those are my two favorites. And I remember one time I was in church, and this guy, I think he was in our campus ministry at the time, 21, 22, he found out that I was collecting basketball cards. And so he had hundreds of basketball cards. And so he came up to me after church, and he brought these card books full of cards, and he just gave them to me. He said, "Here you go, Ben, these are for you." And that was the first time I experienced, outside of my family, I experienced extreme generosity. And it changed my life. And it showed me that somebody could make my day or make me feel so good by giving something to me. And I was like 12 years old, but something clicked in my mind that, wow, this is something good, and I need to think about this more often. And so we're talking about extreme generosity today, and I want to start with scripture. It's not on the overhead. It's Proverbs 11:24. It says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." Right? It says there's one person over here that gives more than they should. If their financial advisor looked at their giving, they'd be like, "You're insane. What are you doing? You need this money." But they continue to grow and get blessed. Then there's one person over here that they maybe budget and they maybe give a little bit, but they actually lack. And so this is not every time, all the time. If you study the book of Proverbs, there's truth in the book of Proverbs. Everything is from God. So that's not every time you give more, you get blessed. And every time you give less, you don't get blessed. But here's a principle here, that God wants us to be generous. God wants us to be generous. Generosity is all about the heart. It actually has very little to do with your money. Generosity is all about the heart. It has very little to do with your money. I have a quote from you, from Simone Veil. This is what she said. She said, "Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity." Excellent. Have you ever met somebody that they may give you money, but they won't give you the time of day? Mm-hmm. Their whole schedule is about me. I got to go here. I got to do this. I have this appointment. I got to do this. I got to do this. Here, yeah, take some money. Okay, that's your cause. Great. Here, take some money. I got to do this. Yeah, I'll buy your coffee, but I got to go. Attention is one of the purest forms of generosity. So even if you have $0 in the bank, and maybe you're a student and you're not working, so you're not called to tithe right now, you can still be a generous person. Who in your world needs your attention?
Good.
If I see homeless people, or people who are recovering from addictions, or people who are going through trauma, or people who are really hurting, do they just need my money? They need my attention. They need my time. And God has called us to be a church that we're extremely generous, that we don't just give money. Think about it. If you were to give $100 to a homeless person, that's amazing. That's awesome. Is that better than saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to invite you into my life. I'm going to help you. I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. I'm going to disciple you." Which one's more generous?
Mm-hmm.
Attention is one of the purest forms of generosity. And I'm not sharing this to be like, "Hey, listen, I'm generous, y'all are not. Be like me." I was deeply convicted by this message. Deeply convicted. And so it's us together looking at the Word of God and this principle, and we're going to be forced to transform our lives, right? So I was deeply convicted. Sometimes I just throw money at things instead of give my attention to them. I have another quote. This is by Alan Cohen. He says, "Money is but one venue for generosity. Kindness is even a more valuable currency." Kindness is even more valuable currency. So we have attention, we have kindness. So today, God has called us to be a sacrificial church,
mm-hmm.
to give not just money, but attention, kindness, love, a hug, discipleship, the gospel. One of the most generous things you can do is be willing to be embarrassed to somebody else and share the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm.
It It's very generous. Because you're saying, I'm sacrificing my social standings. I'm sacrificing my comfort zone. I'm sacrificing my what I want to do, but I'm giving to you what I think is the best gift. It's the best gift that was ever given to me, which was Jesus. And most of my best gospel Jesus conversations happen at inconvenient times for me.
Yeah.
I'll have the 3 p.m. appointment. It's 2:59. I'm running late. And then someone's like, hey, ask me a God question. And I have to give something to them. I have to sacrifice. I have to sacrifice my appointment. Maybe I have to call my appointment and say, hey, listen, I'm going to be late, but I have to give something to them. And so being generous is not just money. Mm-hmm. It's a heart thing. And Pastor Ron did a wonderful job last week talking about that generosity and giving has to do with the heart. Mm-hmm. Really very little to do with a number on a check. So our first scripture is Luke 21:1-4. It's on the overhead. Verse 21 says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. So Jesus was at church back in the day, and he was watching all these rich people pour these massive amounts of wealth. Okay, so in the temple back in the day, you can't just write a check and it's very discreetly put in the envelope. You had to bring physical things. So this could have been huge truckloads of bunches of gold or diamonds or jewels or wheat or oil, but like huge jars of oil. So this was a big deal, right? So you could physically see who was giving what, mm-hmm. right? So that's what Jesus is looking at. Verse 2, he also saw a poor widow who put in 2 very small copper coins. Jesus said, truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put all she had to live on. And so I love this. Jesus is looking not just at the amount we give, but the heart with which we give. He's looking at the generosity in our hearts, right? And so some of us in this room are very blessed. Some of us financially are maybe not so blessed. God is not looking for your money. He's looking for your heart. He wants you to be generous. That's what God really values. And he's not looking for just generosity like, you know, if I had, you know, $10 million and I gave $1 million to something, that's generous. But if I only have $1 million and I give $1 million, that's extremely generous because it's all I have. And so Jesus has called us to be extremely generous, because that's the currency he operates in. Jesus is not just generous with us. He's extremely generous. And I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm so excited and I love bragging about Jesus. But Jesus is extremely generous with his time, with everything he has. Jesus was extremely generous. It's convicting. All right, I got another quote. A lot of quotes today. John Wesley. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, and all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Now, when I read that, I thought, that's spoken like a true Arminian. Anyway, that's a joke for our theologians. But the principle here, the point is that he has a heart of sacrifice, saying, what situation... in every situation, what can I give? What can I sacrifice? How can I be generous? How can I make life not about me, but about somebody else? And when I got this in my own personal life, let's just talk about friendships. So when I went to college, a lot of my friendships were transactional. I gave, I got something back. Hallelujah. So I gave, I got something back, right? So I would give you time, and then I wanted time. I would give you attention, you give me attention. So I had, you know, I played on the football team. I wasn't serving the Lord at that time. So I had my buddies who, you know, we would drink with or party with or hang out with or go to the gym with or do these things. But I gave them attention because I really wanted attention. And as soon as I got serious about Jesus, they all left, right? And it was really depressing, but it was good. It's what I needed. I was really hoping, guys, when I got saved, I was like, God, you can bring, all of my friends can come to Jesus. We'll all sit on the front row of church. It'll be awesome. But instead, I got like completely isolated. That's a whole nother thing. But The point is, Christian relationships are supposed to be about giving. And so when I became part of a small group in Houston, for the first time, I was around with people who were not cool, but didn't want anything from me. Nothing. I didn't have to pretend to be something else. All they did was love me and wanted what was best for me. And I was like, this is family. This is it. All they wanted was what was best for me. And the Lord put me with all these people that didn't look like me, didn't like the same things I liked, but we had this friendship. And then I learned that, you know what? When I walk into a room, I don't need to be an energy vampire and say, what can make me happy? Is I can look and say, who can I bless today? And in college, I had friends, but no close friends, because I was so insecure. I was taking from every relationship. But when I figured this out, when God revealed this to my heart, I began giving and thinking, how can I bless you? How can I make your day? How can I help you? And I had all of these friends popping out of the woodworks. People just wanted to hang out with me. I'm like, this is strange. This is weird. But something in my heart changed, right? And my personality began to change. I began praying for others. I began thinking about other people. And I'm still on this journey, right? And it was so funny. I would think to myself, man, back in college, I used to have all these problems, and they were all about me, 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 me. But now, I got 99 problems, and I'm not one of them. It's all other people's problems. It's, man, this guy I'm discipling, he's struggling with that, or this church, I'm praying for that, or I want to give this money, but I don't have enough, and I want to do this, and I want to help this person, and what can we give, and what can we do, and my small group, and this and that, and it was all about others. I'm like, this is how you're supposed to live. Amen. And then secret sins and addictions that I had started fading away because I wasn't thinking about myself. I wasn't pleasing myself. I was trying to help others, right? And it was an extremely generous heart began to bubble up inside of me. Good. And this wasn't because, well, I cracked a code or figured it out. It was really because I experienced the author of extreme generosity. I experienced Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he met me in my sin. Whew, I'm just emotional today. He met me in my sin, and he saved me, knowing he could get nothing in return from me. Mm-hmm. And he saved me. And I said, if someone can be that generous to me, I can be generous to others. And Jesus impacted my life. And if you don't have this extreme generosity bubbling out of your heart and soul, it's not work harder, be better. It's spend time with Jesus. Right. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Many Christians are in this self-help, therapeutic lifestyle to become more like Jesus. Okay, that sounds good, but we don't need to become more like Jesus. We need more of Jesus. Because if you want to be more like Jesus and that's your only goal, what you're really saying is, I want to be like Jesus so I don't need Jesus. What we really need is Jesus, I need more of you. And it hit me one day that, you know, as I got saved, I was still getting, you know, coming out of porn addiction, coming out of alcohol addiction, coming out of seeking approval of others, coming out of these things. And I would have a really bad day and then a really good day. And on the bad day, I was like on my knees praying, Lord, I love you, I need you. And then on the good day, I'd be like, I've got it, it's cool, it's awesome. And Jesus revealed to me, he said, Ben, you need me just as much on the good day as you do on the bad day. And I realized, wait a second. My dependence on Jesus, needing Jesus, more of Jesus, not to be like him, but more of him, was an everyday, lifetime thing. I would never arrive. It's a journey. It's a pursuit. And so today, I'm kind of giving you the answer to the quiz here, but at the end of the day, our hearts and our minds should be as Jesus, I want more of you, and I want you to transform me into whatever you want me to be. And then you will start becoming generous. Then you'll start making disciples. Then you'll lose your addictions. Then you'll walk into victory. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. John Bunyan said this. He said, you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. A lot of our generosity is transactional still. It's, I'll tithe because I want God to bless me. Right. I'll buy this person lunch because I want them to think well of me. I'll buy this person coffee because I want them to think I'm a good person. I'll give to this charity so that I can feel good about myself, right? And there's a lot of people who transactionally give, and I'm guilty of that too. But the truth is we need to have a heart of giving out of extreme generosity, say, I'm going to give to you expecting nothing in return. Expecting nothing in return. And I think that's really the power of giving. It's not when you give to, you know, a lot of rich people giving to each other, just giving, you know, birthday cards and stuff. But when we give to people who don't deserve it, but who really desperately need it. And not just money, attention, time, love. All right, our main text today is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. All right, I think it's on the overhead. This is it. Verse 1, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." Okay, so here's Paul. He's writing to a church in Corinth about a church in Macedonia. Now, if there's an epistle or a book in the Bible, a letter in the Bible written to a church, it's probably a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. It means your church had issues, and Paul was writing to correct them. If you look in your Bible, there's no book of Macedonians. They were a good church, right? He's writing about a good church to a not-so-good church, okay? So this is the context. If you've, you know, if you've been to church before, you probably heard a church about, you know, a sermon about the church in Corinth. But anyway, verse 2, "In the midst of a very severe trial," so the church in Macedon was going through a severe trial, "their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty," okay, extreme poverty, "welled up in rich generosity." He's writing about a church, not that was blessed, not a church of all millionaires, not a church in Malibu, not a church, but a really poor church. A really poor church. And it says, they were so extremely poor, but they were so overflowed in joy about what Jesus had done for them that it welled up in extreme generosity. Right? But in verse 1, it says, he's telling them about the grace. Now, here's the thing about giving. Giving anything, money, time, attention, outside of the grace of God is just self-righteousness. Okay? So this is not a sermon about you need to give more in your own strength. It's you need to give what God tells you to give.
Right?
Right? Any busy people will know you have to have boundaries on your schedule or people will take advantage of you. Right? So this message is about walking in the grace that God has for you to be extremely generous, not just, I give everything I have to everybody. Okay? That's an important point. So there's a grace to give. Verse 3, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." So they didn't just give what was 10%, what was comfortable, as I can pay this and then I'll pay all the bills. They gave more than they were able. "Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us." So he's saying, this church in Macedon, we didn't even ask for tithes and offerings and money. We're like, listen, y'all are living in mud huts. You guys are really poor. Keep your money. God bless you. We're here to bless you. But they begged Paul, let us give you something. Let us give you money. So they had this extreme generosity, not generosity. The world has generosity. Extreme generosity. Extreme generosity. "So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion the act of grace on your part." So now he's saying, listen, Macedonia is doing this. Okay, church in Corinth, this is my second, or maybe they'd say third letter to Corinth. This is for y'all now. "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love, we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving." Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is a now word for us. Everyone in this room. I think God sees our faith. He sees our heart for him. He sees we're trying to serve him. We want Jesus, a lot of us in this room. But he says, now it's time to excel in this grace of giving, but extreme giving in grace. Okay, so I'm not saying be bad stewards of your money, your time, and your attention. Okay? God will bring people that you're supposed to give to. The devil will bring distractions, right? So I can't give my time to every single person who wants an appointment with Ben. I have to walk in the grace that God has for me, and when God says give, I must give. And almost all the time, it's more than I'm comfortable with giving, whatever that is, right? Are you seeing this here? So this is not, I'm going to decide, I'm just going to give to all these things. It's, I need to know the grace that God has for me to give, and then in that, I'm going to actually have to sacrifice and give more than I want to. Is everybody with me? Okay. Verse 8. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others, or the Macedonian church. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was God, he is God, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So Paul ties it back. He's saying, listen, the Macedonian church, they're walking in extreme generosity, and so much so their church is going great. Because the church is not about them, it's about others. And they're actually sponsoring me so I can come and preach for you guys. And you guys need to tap into this too. But not just because the Macedonian church is doing it. I don't want you to be self-righteous and compare. I want you to do it because Jesus is generous. And though he is rich, he became poor on your account. And he gave everything for you. So the gospel is a story of extreme generosity. It's mind-bending, mind-melding, doesn't even make sense. That the God who created us, who we would reject every single day, multiple times, that we would constantly say, I don't need you, I don't want you, we'd sin, we'd have addictions, we'd do all these things, we'd abuse each other, we'd abuse our own bodies, and that he would still send his son to die for us, knowing that we could never give him anything back. Did you know that God does not actually need your money? He doesn't actually need you to get people saved. He doesn't actually need you or me to build the church. We don't actually give him anything. Even the gospel is not a transaction. It's not him saying, hey, I died for you, so you should guiltily live for me. He died for us regardless of what we would do. It's extreme generosity. Jesus died for us knowing that potentially a large majority of the population would never come to him. That's crazy. When I first got saved, I thought if I can just share the gospel the right way, everyone who hears it is going to be like, this is amazing, I want this. But I realized that when Jesus said the road to follow him is narrow and there are few who travel on it, and the way that leads to destruction is vast, a lot of people on that, I realized he wasn't just talking about when he was alive, he was talking about now. That I'm actually okay with Christians being a minority on earth, true believers who are actually, my heart and soul is sold out to you, Jesus. I'm walking in extreme generosity, right? That it may be a minority. We may be a minority on this earth, right? But when I come face to face with the extreme generosity that someone would die for me, knowing I could never give him anything back, he doesn't need my glory, he doesn't need my worship, he doesn't need my prayer, he doesn't need any of that. He's not egotistical. He's so secure. He didn't come as a Roman emperor. He came as a poor construction worker in a corner of the empire. He doesn't need me, but he died for me anyway.
Yes.
When I come face to face with that, how can I look at someone who's struggling and not give? You can't do it.
Right.
When you really experience Jesus, it makes you generous. Because you realize that you have something that's so valuable that you never worked for by God's grace. So why would you not give? Why would you not be generous? Right? And this message is not to force, like I said, some self-righteous giving. Or even giving to this church. If this is not your church, do not tithe here. You're not allowed to tithe here. If this is your church, please tithe here. Right? Go find a church that you need to go to tithe to. All right? But this is, tithing is so low. Tithing is like to get in the game. But once you're in the game, you got to give. You got to give. All righty. So there's three attitudes of generosity I want to talk about. So number one is we need to be systematic in our giving, in our generosity. Systematic or scheduled, meaning every month, every year, every 6 months, This is where we give, how we give. Whether that's every month I'm going to work in a soup kitchen or every week I'm going to disciple somebody. But in terms of money, so Ashley and I, my beautiful wife Ashley, who's also pregnant with my child, we are campus missionaries, right? And so we raise partnership. But we also partner with six other missionaries, both internationally and nationally. Meaning the very thing that we want is partners to partner with us financially. We give. If you were a financial advisor and you looked at our budget, you'd be like, why are you giving this much money away? Aren't you trying to get a budget? Why are you giving this much away? But we systematically do that every month on top of tithing. Right? It's got to be systematic. There's got to be a plan. God will call you. God loves plans. He does. He loves schedules. He loves excellence, stewardship. We have to be systematic in our generosity. You have to schedule in generosity. Yeah. You know, it's not just going to happen sometimes. You got to schedule it in. Number two, it's got to be spontaneous sometimes. So Ash and I, we have systematic giving, but we also have room in our budget for spontaneous giving, for buying lunches, for giving people money, for just hearing needs and just filling the need. We give ourselves room to do that. We have to have spontaneous. And this is not just money. Again, this is with attention. This is with love. This is with care. We have to walk around saying, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm probably going to give something I don't want to. It's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm okay with that. Good. So God, all my money is yours. All my time is yours. All my emotional time is yours. Good. What do you want me to give today? Spontaneous. Actually, where can I give? Are you in relationships looking for ways to give? Or are you looking for your needs to be met? Because I guarantee we all schedule time to get stuff. We want spontaneous times to receive stuff. We maybe don't schedule, have systematic times to give, or look for spontaneous moments to give. Is making sense?
Yes.
An example of this was, this actually before I was married. You know, I'll tell you this, don't get into ministry for the money. It's, you got to sacrifice a lot. You know what I'm talking about. And so before I got married, you know, times were tight. And there was a moment where the Lord told me to give someone in this church $1,000. I'm like, okay, God, like I'm 28 years old. $1,000 is a lot of money, you know. And it was just a thing that God put in my heart and I couldn't shake it. And so I did, but it was a spontaneous thing. I didn't plan on it. It wasn't, I didn't really want to. And I don't know if I've seen any returns from it. That's just totally fine. But I gave, you know? And maybe it was a test. Maybe it was a test. But the point is that you have to be open to give. You have to be open to give. And this is not a message like, oh, I give a lot. You guys should give a lot. This is a message of just go spend time with Jesus and give him the grace that he has for you.
Yes.
Right? This is not, you have to give $1,000. Please don't hear that. The last one is be Spirit-led. We got to be Spirit-led. We have to ask God, when do you want me to give? How do you want me to give it? Now, there's some people, God bless them, they're generous, but they give the wrong gift. I don't need your time right now. I need to be alone. I actually don't need a conversation. I need some real-world solutions to problems. Or there's moments where I don't actually need this, I need food. I need to eat. Right? So we got to be Spirit-led. There's some people who think, I'm a great conversationalist. I'm going to give my conversation to the world. Sometimes people don't need to talk. They need to be prayed for. They need money. You got to be Spirit-led. Right? And sometimes people don't need your money. In fact, it could be like a slap in the face to their real problem. I don't need your money. I want your time. Right? I mean, when you date or when you're married, you'll realize that. Your wife doesn't just want stuff. She wants your time. I love it. You have all my time. I'm going to be Spirit-led this week. I'm going to give you everything you need. And example of this, when I was in college, I had this roommate. I won't say his name, but he's not a good dude. Not a good dude. Like, I would leave for the weekend to go home. I'd come back. He liked to fish, so there'd be like dead fish pieces in the living room. I'm not joking. And he would like, he was getting into smoothies or something. So he would like, there'd be like pieces of wilted like vegetables around the kitchen. It would smell awful. He would do the laundry. Like if you were trying to trash a room, you couldn't do a better job. He liked to dip tobacco too. So there'd be dip cans and mugs and awful. And then he also was in some pretty hard drugs. So maybe particles of booger sugar on the counter. And his taste in women was not necessarily God-fearing. And so he was a guy on Tinder who just right. That was who he was. Just quantity over quality. And so this guy was a piece of work. Like, just terrible. And then he was just great football player, but just a piece of work. Just trash. You know, helped us go 13-1. Anyway, he was trash. I mean, he was a good guy. God loves him. But he was just a terrible human being. A dumpster fire of a person. And I live with him like hot liquid garbage. No. But anyway, so funny. Played offensive line. I was the left guard. He was the right guard. And so it's terrible. And I would just, Carter, like, what? No, not Carter, sorry. But just, anyway, I'm like, buddy, what are you doing? You're offending me. Like, you're hurting my feelings. Like, I would clean up for him. And I would like, just because I can't live in this filth, you know? And anyway, when I moved out, I got my first big boy job. And those who are students, when you get your first big boy, big girl job, it's great. There's no homework at night. Like at 5 or 6, you're done for the day. It's insane. And now you got money in your bank account. You're like, I can eat brunch. I can go to the grocery store and get, you know, 2 things that I like. You know, it's incredible. And so I was experiencing this. And, you know, I started, you know, paying taxes. It used to come out of my income checks. And so anyway, February, March rolled around, and it's tax season. And so I got money back. I was like, this is incredible. Like, what is going on here? Like, I'm getting money. Like, this is amazing, you know. And I got a check for $2,000. I was like, this is awesome. Like, 2,000 American dollars for Bendu. This is awesome. And so I'm like, this is so cool. And the Holy Spirit tells me, he's been, I want you to give $2,000 to your roommate who shall remain nameless. Not my current, but my old roommate.
Carter.
I want you to give $2,000 to Carter. Okay, so first off, I'm like, listen, there's so many better people I could give this to, Lord. You know, like there's a lot of good charities out there. There's my, like, what about my church? What about my parents? What about this? What about that? And the Holy Spirit was like, no, I want you to give it to Carter. And I was like, I don't want to do it. And so I prayed about it for a while, but the Holy Spirit's like, I want you to text him right now and tell him you're going to give him money, because if you don't, you'll probably back out. So I text him, Carter, I want to give you this amount of money. And so I said, can you meet up? He was like, yes, I can. I'll be there. So I went to the bank, got out a lot of 20s, 10 20s. No. A lot of 20s. Like, you can't do math on stage. It's proven. Just $2,000 worth of 20s in an envelope. And I got it. And he came over and I gave it to him. I said, the Lord told me to give this to you. And he was blown away. And it was so funny. I got a moment, and I thought, like, I'm going to redeem the situation. I'm going to share the gospel with him, right? Like, this is my moment to, like, God is using this money to, and maybe he'll convert his soul. And I shared the gospel. He was like, cool, that's awesome, and left, you know? And he's not serving the Lord this day. And I was like, Lord, why did you want me to give this money? And God was like, Ben, I was testing your heart, and I wanted you to step into a place of sacrifice, into the generosity I've called you to. And so sometimes the Lord and this Holy Spirit will lead you to give to things you're like, I don't want to give to that, right? But it's really testing us. And I mean, I've been so blessed. I mean, this is not a message about you give, you'll receive, you know. That's so overdone. But this is a message about give at a sacrifice. You may not get blessed. You may never see that money again. It may do nothing here on earth, but God still called you to do it. So back to the basketball cards I used to collect. I just went through them. I got rid of a lot of them last year, 2020. Had a lot of free time on my hands. So I'm going through my basketball cards, and I found 2 LeBron James rookie cards. So, and LeBron's at the Lakers now, and they were playing in the finals. I'm like, okay, here we go. So they ended up winning the championship. I'm like, okay, this is the time to cash in these cards. So I took them, I looked online, I went to a couple card shops, and I went to a place, and he said, okay, I'll give you this much cash for both cards. I said, okay, I'll take it. The number will not be disclosed. I got an amount. It wasn't as much as, you know, you'd think, but I got an amount, and that day I was hanging out with a couple. Me and Ash were hanging out with someone, and the Lord told me, said, I want you to give all that money to this person. I was like, Lord, it's LeBron. My guy. I love basketball cards. I want to be blessed. I have plans for this money. And the Lord said, I want you to give this money, this cash away. So I literally, the same day, probably like 2 hours after I got the money, I gave it away, right? And that's not like, oh, Ben, you're such a great dude. It's when you experience Jesus, when you experience the gospel, there's no money that can hold you. And Pastor Ron shared a great quote last week. I love quotes, if you can't tell. But Pastor Ron did a great quote by John Wesley. He said, listen, as soon as I get money in my pocket, I get rid of it, because if I don't, it may capture my heart. Uh-huh. And there's things in our lives that are trying to capture your heart. Mm-hmm. It could be money. It could be your time. It could be your comfort zones. It could be what you want to do. It could be your plans for your life. It could be your parents' expectations. It could be addictions. It could be pleasure. It could be anything. And it's trying to capture your heart. But the Lord doesn't want you to have a heart that keeps you in bondage, addicted. The Lord wants you to have a heart that gives and is empty. You can receive from Him and give. Receive from Him and give. And when nothing in this world has control over you, you are truly free. And some of us are free in Christ, but we enslave ourselves to things. And we do this every day. And I'm in a constant battle of, Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm putting too much trust and hope in? Because if there is, Lord, I want to get rid of it. I don't want it. I don't want it. And as we close, the pure example of this is Jesus. And I already alluded to it. But if you don't have Jesus, extreme generosity makes no sense. It doesn't. If you're your provider, you need to hold on to every penny. Listen, if you're on your game plan for your life, if you're doing what you want to do, then you need to hold on to every penny. You should be anxious and stressed out. But if God's your provider and you obey Him and you're walking in His grace to save money, but also to give money, to spend time, invest time, but also to keep time for yourself, right? If you're walking in His grace, then you can in confidence give. You can in confidence be generous. And the world needs a testimony from this church of a church that is extremely generous. Good. That's good. Let's do that together. Extreme generous. Wow. What a perfect close. No. But anyway, so today we're going to, we got a huge service for all of our kids afterwards. Go have fun with kids. And, you know, we got candy and face paint. It's going to be awesome. But we also are going to have a moment for you if you need to get right with the Lord and just say, God, I've been letting these things control me, and I've not been extremely generous, right? And this is not a, you need to give something today. This is a, you need to give your heart to Jesus fully today. Right. And whatever He tells you to give, you need to give, right? So we're gonna pray for that, and we'll dismiss. But I hope you guys don't just hear this like, oh, that's awesome. Ben likes to give money sometimes. Or I should probably, you know, give money to people. But what has God called me to give? What's the grace He's called me to walk in? And what is controlling me? What is enslaving me? What am I putting my trust in? Because if it's not Jesus, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for this word. Lord, I pray that You would help me, honestly, first and foremost, walk in this, not just preach this, but really practice this. Lord, help us be a church that's extremely generous. Lord, help us walk in the grace that You have for us to give. Lord, not give out of self-righteousness or duty or what we think we need to do or try to get Your approval. But Lord, because you approve of us, because you saved us, because you came on a cross and died for us, knowing that we can't and we never will give you anything back, you still died for us. Out of that love, we can therefore give. Lord, help us not put our trust in things on this earth, but put our trust solely in you. And Lord, I pray that whoever is getting convicted right now, that you would not let them get condemned, but that you would say, it's okay. This is an invitation into the lifestyle I've called you to live. This is an invitation into generosity. So Lord, I pray that you would seal this word, that you would be with us, that you'd keep all of our kids safe today and tonight, Father, that you would just protect us from any schemes of the evil one on this day. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified and you would be honored by what we do, by what we give, not just money, but if we give our lives away to advance your kingdom. In the name of Jesus.